And now, courtesy of the 11L Network, it's LF Midwood.
LF Midwood.
And the Midwood Files. With the LF Midwood Experience. Here on Radio New York International.
What is it? November? No. It's September 20th, 2020. It's the September 2020 edition. I got a confession to make. And this is like a long-standing thing that I kind of drew the line at. And I crossed that line. I have to. And I feel bad about it. It's the kind of thing where I kind of just couldn't conceal it. That's how bad I feel about it. I wound up eating at Olive Garden yesterday. Yes, I know the horror. I'd always Italian McDonald's. That's what I called it. I'm from fucking Brooklyn. I mean, everybody is. What are you talking about? Going to Olive Garden? Seriously. So, my aunt's like, "Oh, you want to go to Olive Garden?" Because we were out. I need to pick up some hardware, new hardware for the studio. And we happened to be in the strip mall-y thing where, just went to Best Buy. And I had a better experience at Best Buy, by the way. But now, this is not to say that my experience at the Olive Garden was not good. It's just to say that it was, well, the Olive Garden. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I had been in an Olive Garden once before, and that was in the bar section. And I proceeded to drink like three Manhattans before noon. Kind of helped. So we were over in this thing there, and she's like, "Oh, why don't we go to the Olive Garden?" And I was like, "Oh, no." I just like that, no. And then we proceeded to try and go to a pizzeria. Frank Pepe's, I think. I think they got their start in Connecticut. I think they're a Connecticut chain, and they it's like 1925 or something. It's like Yale pizza. They're considered like Yale pizza, whatever kind of pizza those smart people eat over there in Yale. So we drive up to where they are, and they're just taking takeout orders. And I don't want to eat pizza in the car. I've done that before. So I'm like, "All right, let's go to the Olive Garden." So we went to the Olive Garden, and they have a curated menu. I guess it makes sense. They're seating, I don't know how many people they're seating, but there were some people in there. And, they were maintaining social, distancing and all that jazz. So they happened to sit us in the cafe / bar section. Jerry, she recommended, get the soup and salad. And I'm like, everything else. It's like I feel bad when I go into the place and they have spaghetti and meatballs on the menu. That's just not right. And they had chicken cutlet parm. They actually had, for a limited period only, apparently, a giant chicken parm. I had to wonder what that was like, but I didn't go for it. I went for the soup and the salad, and I got chicken with gnocchi, and basically Italian chicken and dumplings. And it was a big salad in a bowl that we shared. And they do refills and breadsticks. And I had two bowls of soup. I had a fair amount of salad. Four or five breadsticks. Those things are ginormous, by the way. And what did I have for dessert? I had tiramisu for dessert, which was thoroughly mediocre. Now, the soup was good. Yeah, not bad. The salad was, normal. And the breadsticks were okay. I mean, it wasn't like... at least I didn't have to feel like I had ordered an entree and, betrayed my cultural heritage. But I had to get it out of my system. Yep. It was, man, I didn't even do a check-in. Okay. My my Facebook friends who listened to the show will be like, he didn't even check in from it. That's how embarrassed I was. That's how friggin' embarrassed I was. And it's funny because I was talking to Alan Sane today and he laughed. Because, you know, he's of Italian extraction, as they say. And he'd heard me say that, you know, the whole thing. Because I gave his brother, you know, Jack Hammer and Mrs. Jack Hammer. I always give them issues, you know, whenever they post their check-in. You know, because they're still in Brooklyn. You're Italian and in Brooklyn and you're going to the Olive Garden. I would never go to the Olive Garden if I lived in Brooklyn. I would never. I don't even understand why there is an Olive Garden in Brooklyn. I wish someone would explain that to me. Huh? I know. They know a guy. Yeah, that's what it is. Anyway, so yeah, that's what's going on there. There's a couple, obviously, I have no news. I have no nothing, but there's a couple of big enough stories floating around the media right now. I did want to, part of this process, there's been this, we pretty much upgraded the audio to where we want it. We went out and we pretty much either secondhand or new wound up buying most of what we want. So as far as studio upgrades left, the only place to go was video. And we've been, when we do video, and we haven't done it in a while, but when we do video, we've been using the Brio, the Logitech Brio, which is, as far as consumer end cameras go, is probably as good as you get. And the thing about it, though, is it's at the end of the day, it's a webcam. And I don't know how many of you peruse YouTube on a regular basis, but, you know, I've watched a lot of content creators up there, and the ones that have the streams that I like the way they look are generally using DSLs, you know, digital reflex, you know, like I bought the 90D. Well, I didn't want to tie up the 90D on a regular basis because it kind of entails a permanent install. Is what it does, because you don't want to be taking these things on and off, you know, on a regular, as they say. So we ordered we got it directly from Canon. We ordered a refurbished, I think it's an SL3. And it's actually small. I think it's the smallest DSL they make, so it won't take up a lot of space, or it won't take up a huge amount of space. Huge. And it'll be used in video mode. I picked up a capture device that was been recommended. It's been floating around, because you know what it is? What's been going on with the lockdown, or as a result of the lockdown, is a lot of this equipment, you know, these pieces of hardware, have been they've been jacked up exorbitantly. I mean, I think the Brio was going for $300, and that's $150 camera, maybe a bit more than that, $175. I think we might have paid for this one. But they jacked up the price. I know the 920 and the 9, I don't even know if they make the 920, but the 922, again, that's a $60 to $75 camera. That one's been up in the $150 range. It's just insane. And there's a company called Elgato, which makes stuff specifically for people who stream, who are, you know, to make their streaming lives easier. I think we have the Stream Deck over here is Elgato. It's a little push button pad thing that you can program stuff for and push a button, and it's there at the push of a button. We're not using it right now because we're not streaming, but I was using it when I was pushing the video out of here. I guess it's a year and a half ago, maybe even 2 years ago. I can't even tell you. I think about a year and a half ago. And, so we looked, and I wound up getting this capture device, which does almost the same as what the Elgato device, because Elgato makes one. It's called the Cam Link. Yeah, basically USB on one side, USB 3 on one side, and HDMI in on the other side. So you take the clean output from your camera, which the SL3 has, and you basically are using the output of the camera directly into your computer to capture it. At in the case of the device I bought, 1080p, which is 1080p, and I believe 30 frames per second, which is a little bit less than, I think the camera does 4K, but it's something to do with the crop, and it takes, I don't know, I think it's cropped and then it's cropped again because it is APC sensor. But anyway, not to get too technical. So we got the camera, and I got a device to be, well, we don't have the camera. Camera's in transit. And I actually have the capture card. And I'm getting close to collecting cables. You know, so whenever you do stuff, you need cables. There's always cables involved. It's always like Christmas with the friggin' batteries. You know what I mean? You buy, like, oh, the new toy. Well, it needs batteries. All right. Did somebody get batteries? Yeah. Okay. So there's cableage involved, and the cableage is in transit. Camera's in transit. Biggest deal now is we have to figure out how to mount this thing. Because the webcam sits right on top of the monitor. It's got a little, as most webcams are prone to do, you could just snap them right up there on top. And they're light enough where they can just sit on the ridge of the monitor, you know, the upper lip of the monitor. I don't think we're going to be able to do that with the DSLR. So I think there's another device by El Gato, which means the cat, apparently. I was like, I asked the producer the other day, oh, what's that? And I know, because I always say, oh, hello, Mr. Gato, to my cat. I always say that, you know, break him in for the Spanish. Going to get a little Spanish because he's going to be in Texas and whatnot. Game. Hang on. I'm a little too loud in my own monitors. I don't like it. It's making me uncomfortable. All right, there we go. I'm looking at this thing. It's called a multi-mount, and it's basically a steel pipe. It's actually a steel pipe in four sections, so you can adjust the height. And I don't know whether you notice or not, but we use a 27-inch monitor here in the studio. It's directly in front of me. So I need something that will go over that, over the top of that, and support the weight of these cameras because, I don't know, it's going to be with the lens. And I opted to go for something that takes the EF lenses, which are the lenses I'm already using for my 90D. So they're interchangeable. So I didn't have to, because I was looking at going like maybe a mirrorless camera, and then I got to get into a series of lenses, and it just didn't make any sense. So I'm like, get something that takes the EF. So I'm going to be able to share the lenses. But the camera with the lens on it could be like 3 pounds, maybe a little bit less than that. So this pipe goes up in sections, and you can like adjust it because it's got a ball on the end of it. And then actually you can add stuff to it, which I'm really not interested in doing at this point. But I got to find one of these things for a reasonable price. I think there's been a slow demand, slow manufacturing and high demand have pushed up a lot of these products because they are really niche. They're, you know, not everybody's running around buying pipes for their SLRs so they can stick them over their monitors. Not a lot of people. There's some people, but not a lot of people. And I think that they've just been slow in getting them out. So we have to... We're trying to locate, and I want to get one for the bedroom because I want to be able to put, I'm going to take this Brio and I'm going to take it in there. And the height, I'm using a 40-inch television as my monitor. So that's like 3 feet, you know, 2.5 feet from the bottom of the desk to the top of the monitor. And with this pipe, I can go at a higher angle and kind of cut it down angle-wise. So I'm looking for this pipe thing. And, you know, I don't even know how much it goes for normally. I couldn't even tell you, because I just started looking for it as the price has been jacked, gouged, as they say. So I don't even really know, but I'm seeing it for like 180, and I'm like, I'm going to have to plop down 180 to get the thing. I got a good deal on the camera, because we bought it refurbished from Canon themselves. I think it's got a year warranty and whatnot, so I feel reasonably comfortable with that. And we got a power supply to be able to plug it into the wall and all that, so we don't have to work off of batteries. But As soon as these upgrades are complete and figure out how to mount this friggin' camera, either via the multi-mount or via some other option, I think we'll be pushing some sort of video. I think what I just may do, just to get reasonably proficient at it, is I think we may push out Devon. And because remember, I still want the option of playing music, which I have, I don't know, what is it, 6 weeks now, 7 weeks, man, 2 months, I don't know, something. It's been a while since I played any music. I just haven't been so inclined to actually pick. And part of it's laziness, and the other part of it is I'm doing an hour. And I like to come out for an hour and, give the folks, dance like a monkey, if you know what I'm saying. Dance like a monkey. You know, every time I hear that, I think of the friggin', the quote-unquote comeback album of the New York Dolls, you know. Dance like a monkey. And well, that's got to be, like, going on 15 years ago, somewhere in there, 12, 13, 14, 15 years. And I remember as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh. And, you know, David Johansen's all like, yeah, and if Johnny were here, he would have loved this. And I'm like, No. I don't think so. But because people, they forget anyway. There was a reason why that band broke up. Let's put it that way. So, yeah, I just haven't been so inclined. But I do wish to reserve the right to be able to do it. And, you know, I'm trying to think ahead a little bit, too. I know when we hit Texas, I'm still not quite sure. And I know this is a reiteration on my part, but I'm still not quite sure what the internet situation is going to be. So I don't know if I'll be doing any live streaming. I may just wind up doing uploads. And if I'm in that sort of situation, I may not do music at all, in which case I'll just do the live, record the show, both audio and video, and then make them available on YouTube and the audio on my site. I don't want to host a video on my site because they're big. They're ginormous. So I've done this. I played this game already, and I'm like, you know what? Let somebody else worry about that. I don't want to have to worry about the server stuff. The server stuff is I tried it. It was a lot of work. It was so much work, and then not for nothing, the way the video was set up, it was a lot of work coming in here and having to reconfigure the video every week. This is not going to be the situation with the new camera. It'll be a lot easier. So I'm like, yeah, you know what? If I can do it relatively painlessly, I'll start doing that. Now, if I can't do it relatively painlessly, I'll just continue, obviously, to do the audio show, because that's what this thing was always in its inception, in its heart, as they say, heart and soul. It's always been an audio show. And maybe do some pre-recorded video during the course of the week, maybe one or two segments, short segments, dealing with anything that may be current in the news that I can't discuss. Upload those, and then continue to do the audio show. So I'm not quite sure exactly what's going to be happening, but I know there'll be video in the future. We didn't go through all this trouble for nothing. Not for nothing. I mean, I've done a lot of things for nothing, believe me. But this isn't one of those things. And the producer's kind of excited to kind of get back into some sort of production mode as well, too. And I think having the audio and having the new video, and it's going to look sharp. Yeah, it's gonna. That's the thing about the SLRs. They really look good. They're like, holy smokes. And the video mode on this camera, on the new camera, is pretty much very similar to the video modes on mine. Meaning the 90D. So I get to a certain point, and that's it. You're dealing with the same sensor and the same processor in the camera. It's just a matter of what modes it does. So, and I think we are going to push to 1080p. I don't know if those of you out there are aware, when we were pushing video, we were doing 720, a little bit extra. So it should look sharp. It should look pretty good. It should look, not for nothing, it should look better than this webcam does now. And this webcam looks pretty honking good with good lighting. Speaking of which, that's the hardware I was picking up last week, on Friday, yeah. Also by Elgato. See, we're going Elgato-centric. Whew. We picked up two what's called key lights, key light airs. So they're LEDs, two separate panels that are controllable. Check this out, controllable by either an app or on the desktop. You can change the temperature, you can change the dim intensity, whole nine yards. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So yeah, we're expanding stuff here, where the Midwood Files are expanding. All I really need is I need a laptop that can run a little bit of video editing and possibly be able to work with Lightroom, Adobe Lightroom for photos. And that, if I can get one of those by the end of the year, I'll pretty much be done for a while. I know what that sounds like, but I'll pretty much be done. Does it end? Does it ever end, Midwood? Does it ever really end? There's always something. You need this, you need that, you want this. You know. Yeah, I know. It's only money. It's only money. As long as it's somebody else's money. Well, anyway. Getting back to that. So that's what's going on here. I don't think there's anything terribly, terribly, terribly exciting in the personal lives. Just floating along. I can tell that summer's almost over. I can smell, it's been in the 50s here overnight, in the low 50s. And I think there's a frost warning. I believe there is a frost warning for tomorrow night. So it could get below 32. And I can smell fireplaces. I can smell people's fire because there's a lot of, the older houses around here, and they have fireplaces. And they don't do that when it's hot. So, I can smell wood burning, which is pretty cool. And I'm so looking forward to not having people living next door to me. or the idea of, you know, you live like an acre away from me, 2 acres away from me, even better. Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that. But we got to get some time. We got to do some time, a little bit more time to get stuff together. Got a plan. Everything's proceeding according to plan, which is good. And there's been little to no deviation, which is good. I mean, you know, you got to, it's hard sometimes when you're thinking long term and, you know, you're trying to budget yourself and, you know, I have this much to spend and this is quality life. And then I got this much to be able to, you know, get out of here. And but we're doing good. We're actually pleased. As a matter of fact, we're going to be we'll be calling our family in Texas tomorrow at what, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock our time, which is 4 o'clock their time, or two or three. I'm confused. I don't know. She'll poke me when it's time to get up. But that's all that's going on now. Obviously, Ruth Bader Ginsburg has passed. Now, you know, I tell you, she was ill for a long time because there was a lot of rumors about her dying, and then she's not dead, and then she's dead, and then she's not dead, and, you know, she was tapping the desk, by the way. Got to figure out how to suspend this microphone. It's a whole other ball of wax. Yeah, why don't you focus on that, Midwood? Instead of buying new stuff, why don't you get the stuff that you already want working right? Yeah, there's something to be said for that. Something to be said. But I think it's at least two or possibly three times in the last 4 years there's been a rumor of her demise. And, you know, if the woman was going to go, I kind of honestly wish that she had last year. There would be less hoopla in regards to what do we do in an election year? And should a president be allowed to nominate a Supreme Court candidate in an election year? Because this seems to be the big noise. This is what I'll use the same word again. This is what all the hoopla seems to be about. And I'm not really, you know, I know Republicans said one thing and Democrats say another. And then when the situation was reversed, what's her name? Merrick, I believe it was Merrick. She was nominated but didn't have a chance. But he did nominate, I believe Obama did nominate her. Before and she was voted down. The idea when they say the American people should have a right, you know, should have a right to voice their opinion in regards to who the justice is. And it's at the end of the day, you're still voting for a president who's going to make the nomination, and you're still voting for Congress people, Congressi, who are going to make that decision for you, because there's no way for you to actually make that decision. I mean, you know, we live in that representative democracy. So it's really kind of interesting. I don't even know. I like the candidate. I think Coney is her name. I forget her first name, and I know there's another name involved. But I think she's a Seventh Circuit judge somewhere, and she's Catholic, and she's got like a gaggle of kids, two of which are adopted from Haiti. And I think one of her kids is special needs. And she's got a couple few daughters in there, too, so she knows the idea of women's rights and whatnot, and, which was obviously Ginsburg's Ruth. Yeah, Ruthie going forward, you know, because we were close like that. Yeah, going forward, we'll refer to as Ruthie. I guess I could just say RGB, but I always think red, green, blue when I hear that, which is obviously color. Although she wasn't, was she? She was really, well, she wasn't colored. I don't think she had any colored blood in there. She was Jewish. That's bad enough. And what scares me is I remember her being appointed. I'm at that point in my age. You know, where I'm looking, you know, again, you look back and it's like this old thing. Like, just getting in out of the car is exhausting. It's freaking exhausting. Like, down the stairs, getting into the car, sitting there, put my seatbelt on. I'm huffing and puffing. Huffing and puffing. And I started carrying my camera around with me, you know. And I got a new, I'm a bag whore. I don't know if I've ever admitted he's shifting out of politics back into his personal stuff again. Yeah, go make a ham sandwich. It'll only be a couple minutes. I'm a bag whore. I am. I have several, I like bags. And I have several different ones. Each one has its own purpose. They're for specific reasons, you know. And I decided I wanted something that was a little bit more heavy duty, that would take the camera and two lenses, because I can leave a small lens on the camera. So I could carry three lenses and some other photo stuff and some personal stuff. I got a bag. I got a, and I haven't bought anything by Maxpedition in a long time. They're who I started with. And then I went to, I was using, for my personal bag, for those of you who must know, I was using, and when I say my personal bag, pretty much my MERS, my man purse, you know, knives, friggin', multi-tools, flashlights, batteries, all sorts of stuff in there, guy stuff in there. I was using a Four Hazard is the name of the company. It was a mini messenger bag. So it's not very wide. It's, you know, it's 14 inches wide. It's not very wide for a messenger bag. And it's got the same concept, you know. I was using that for a long time. And then I stopped carrying bags altogether because my back was bothering me. And I was also using a cane. And I didn't like the bag and the cane at the same time. I felt the level of balancing. I wasn't happy with it. So I haven't actually carried a bag in a long time. But I started carrying this little tiny thing around, a little tiny padded bag with the camera. And I could only get one lens in it, and it was making me nuts. So I started looking around, and I found what I wanted. It's like a vault. I mean, you could literally put a baby in this thing, you could throw it off a roof of a house, and the baby would be fine. Perfectly fine. Now, I don't advocate putting babies in bags and throwing them off the roofs of houses, you know. But if you want to bet how many times they bounce, oh, that's wrong. Anyway, I'm happy with the bag. I'm happy with the choice I made, and it's pretty cool. I forget why I started talking about this. Bags. Anyway, I don't know who remembers, right? This is why I need like somebody to keep me on the spot. I'm like Joe Biden. Oh my God, I'm the Joe Biden of R&I. Oh my God. You know when you're talking and you just sort of you have that moment of realization where it's like, yeah, that's who I am. You know, when you're thinking, yeah, you're not that guy. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I'm that guy. So anyway, I also actually picked up another bag from Four Hazard that I wasn't going to mention for. It's a laptop bag, you know, which is cool because it's got a little padded thing inside. And, you know, and then I would only use certain bags for certain reasons, you know. But lately I've been carrying the camera around with me a lot, so we'll just leave it at that. But when I look at what's going on with the Supreme Court, you know, or what I guess it could go several different ways. The president apparently is going to nominate someone, whether it be this Coney. I think Coney's the middle name. I think she has a last name, you know, which is pretty progressive. Pretty progressive to keep your maiden name as a hyphenate. Pretty progressive. But she's Catholic. And I kind of like it. You know, I think she's been questioned before about whether she'll be able to separate her faith from the judiciary. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, and this is something that the left has been constantly afraid of since Roe vs. Wade, is that there'll be a justice appointed who follows their religious convictions and is, you know, definitely pro-life. And this woman is definitely pro-life. Years go by. There are, what's the best way to describe this? The left talking about Roe versus Wade getting overturned is like the right talking about they're coming to get your guns. I think that those two things are panic button, knee-jerk reaction responses. I don't think either of those are true. I think certainly there'll be a limitation. But then again, if you stop and look at what's been going on with guns lately, you know, I think all of that article I had read a couple weeks ago on regards to California, and that was a big one, where the California, they said, I think it's California, state California, Supreme, whatever their highest judgy thing is there. Boy, I love it when I'm articulate. Came across and said that the 10 magazine limit is unconstitutional. And I imagine that would go for what classifies as assault weapons and whatnot. Like if you pick up like a single shotgun and you have bad intentions, technically it's an assault weapon. But I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I think it's moving back in the other direction, as a matter of fact. And I don't think Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned anytime soon. And it's really interesting. Obviously, my political political proclivities have changed. And in part, I would say that some of that, you know, in the process of that happening or occurring, I found myself having a lot in common, or more in common with the religious right than anybody else. And when we think religious right, I think we mostly think the born agains and the evangelicals. I don't necessarily think Catholic. When I think Catholic, I think Kennedy, and I think how well that went. You know, so there's only been one Catholic president in the whole history of the United States, and he got his brains blown out. Yeah. Yeah, in Texas, no less. In Texas. I don't know how else. I don't know if there are any other candidates that he's thinking about, but I know that's already been talked about, which probably means that there was a list. I saw something on the news where it was either, I think it was Fox, where the president had just finished up his rally last night, and he was reporters came up and started talking to him and mentioned that she had passed, and apparently he didn't know, and he pondered for a second, and he gave a rather, you know, a rather classy answer. Obviously they've been foils to one another. I think she's been a problem, if you ask me. You know, but I mean, can I take anything away from the woman's career? I mean, the precedents that she set, and the idea of her political values, or, you know, there was a point in time, I suppose in 93, I would have to say, I can't remember clearly. I really don't remember things too clearly until 94, and that's because I had an ex who was kicking my butt on a regular basis. But prior to that, pretty fucking hazy. Pretty fucking hazy. But I would have to presume that I was pleased with her appointment back in 93. And then again, as my politics changed, I was obviously less pleased. But, you know, that's like a gradual, like, process. Again, not overnight. So I don't know, you know, when I think of the idea of political expediency, I'm you know, glad that she's gone, quite frankly. I wish that she had either, and it's, cancer sucks. Don't wish cancer on anybody. You know, been down that road too many times in my life, people I know. Not good. Lost family to cancer, lost friends to cancer. Cancer sucks. So to say that I'm glad that this woman had cancer, I don't know if I'd go that far, quite frankly. But I am reasonably comfortable with the notion of saying that if she was going to pass, and apparently she was, I would have preferred it had been last year. I know I said that already, but it's true. Because there would have been less hoopla. Hoopla, that's the word of the night, hoopla. Because it's pretty ugly right now. And I don't really know, you know, to a certain degree, you know, when I look at it, I kind of feel, based upon the way the court stacks up right now, because there's only 8 of them with the conservative majority. But then again, you never know what John Roberts is going to do, do you? There's a guy I kind of wish that would die. I don't mind using his name and cancer in the same sentence. We'll just put it that way. There's a majority. The presumption is that there's a conservative majority, which actually, if there isn't a new justice appointed in the time before the election, if there's any shenanigans, that was my chosen word of the night, but it didn't work out that way. If there were any shenanigans in regards to the Democrats trying any funny business in regards to the election results, you know, there's been a lot of stuff floating around already working its way up the courts in regards to mail-in ballots and who's going to lick the stamps and all sorts of stuff in there. You know, so that being said, either way, we're ahead of the game. Now, the downside is if we don't get someone appointed, and you know what, when I say we, you know what I mean when I say we. Right. If, it's like, you know what I mean when I say them. There's we, and then there's them. But if we don't manage to get someone appointed, there's, and God, and I really honestly mean this, God forbade that the Democrats get control of the Congress and the House and White House. I don't even know what the numbers would be for them to get control of Congress altogether, of the Senate. We're screwed. But even then, we're not, because it would just really, if you stop and think about it, it would just go back to the initial balance that it started with before RGB died. And I believe we're ahead of the game. I believe we are ahead of the game. Yeah, but then every time I think that, I think, John Roberts, traitorous bastard, traitorous bastard. So I don't really know. I'm not really 100% sure of the efficacy of really trying to get this done. You know, because then you're counting on Mitch McConnell to get the votes together. You know, the whip. Always like that. And I don't know. You know what I mean? They can't even get a stimulus package together. You know, this is now, I believe in some states there was an extra 2 weeks of the promised 300 hours from the president. I believe that expires. I think that was money was being distributed via FEMA. And I think that expires within this week or something or another. So there's a whole lot of unemployed Americans out there who are going back to basically $300 or less, or $300 or less a month, or excuse me, a week, which, you know, in today's day and age, in a good part of the cities, is not exactly what a single household can do. And there are a lot of single people out there with kids who are looking at that kind of all of a sudden deduction. You know, did I think the initial stimulus package and the $600 a week was a good idea? I'm not really sure. You know, the discussion of whether these things wound up being deterrents for people to go back to work is, I think, somewhat of a valid one. I don't think it should be easily dismissed as saying no. It's definitely not. You know, that's like, you know, is marijuana a gateway drug? No, it's definitely not, and not for nothing. In vast majority of people, it's not, but in some, it might be. Yeah, and the same goes for, hey, I'm going to sit back and collect $600 a week, and I'm not going to go back to work, because if I went back to work, I'd make less money than that. Yeah, I get the logic. I obviously get the GOP's position in that, and just what bugs me is that the Democrats refuse to come to the table with anything other than what they want. And I know they've reduced a little bit, but I still think that they're looking for like at least a trillion dollars to bail out. So basically what some of these cities and states, you know, places like Detroit, and I guess Los Angeles to a certain degree, in New York City, they're looking to have the federal government bail these places out from which appears to be decades and decades of financial malfeasance. That's the term that I would use. I'm comfortable saying that, financial malfeasance. So I get that. The idea becomes is that I'm trying to understand how Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer think that holding out like this, how there's an upside for them and their party in an election year. I'm not getting it. I don't see, because I think I don't watch the them networks. I don't do that. The only time I see the them network is if Tucker Carlson's making fun of them. That's the only time I watched the Them Network. Or Tucker says, and there was no response. They decided not to respond to our requests. I love that. Again, Tucker Carlson. And you know what I figured out? I think I figured out, and I don't know if it's every night, because I'm not paying that close attention to Fox. But I think I figured out that 7 o'clock Eastern on Fox Financial is Lou Dobbs. And 8 o'clock on the main news channel is Tucker Carlson. So I think I just figured out that Lou Dobbs was on. And I knew he left CNN a long time ago, because that's when I first got turned on to Lou Dobbs, is during all those immigration rallies in like 2006. Wow, it's a long time ago, 14 years ago. When I was actually in Texas and experiencing outside my window some of these so-called immigration rallies, you know. And I love the guy. I know he looks a little older, but he's still sharp as a tack, and he's got interesting guests on, and I'm super pleased that it occurred to me by actually looking at it, because I never look at schedules. So I'm like on my own thing. You know, I know the five are on at five, because there's five of them. It's like 5-5-5. It's easy enough to remember, you know, on Fox. And I like Gutfeld, you know. And I actually caught Gutfeld. I think it's 10 o'clock Saturday, so I caught him. I usually catch him on Saturdays, which is the hour or 2 hours before I go live, which gives me time to digest. Try not to steal anything. That's the hard part. Try not to steal anything. But I have to be honest and say my thought process the direction of my thought process is sometimes affected, and not in a subconscious way, if you know what I mean. So I guess, yeah, that's Gutfeld, Lou Dobbs, and Tucker Carlson. If they had their own network, and you could throw Hannity in there, because I like showing Hannity. I do. I got no problem with Hannity. He chuckles a little bit. If those four people had their own friggin' network, that's it. I'd pay for that. 100%. I'd drop a few shekels in the cup to watch that. I definitely would. And what's her name's not bad. Dana Perino I like as well, too. I actually like her dog. I like Dana's dog more than I like Dana, because Jasper just looks honest, you know? Just he's got those eyes, I guess. I try not to watch too much opinion shows. And it's hard, you know, it's always, we're back to that whole us and them and me and you. And it's difficult because I don't really feel that there's a lot, and this is just classic. I can go on about this, you know, tons and tons and tons. And I think the great Hank Hayes made a post alluding to this week, and the idea of propaganda, and he was referring to it more to the left, but I believe that there's a certain amount of propaganda involved with right-wing news reporting as well. Fake news versus less fake news, or more fake news. I find as an American who's interested and has the time to navigate the troubled waters of trying to get some news in this world, it's frustrating. So I can imagine what it must be like for people who work 9-to-5 and are raising a couple of kids, and their amount of quote unquote TV time or media time to absorb any sort of media, whether it be television, you know, in the sense of entertainment television reality television or whatever it is they want to do. Hey, I mean, you know, you're a taxpaying American, you do whatever you want, you know. I can't imagine that there's a lot of space, you know, a lot of time and space allocated towards trying to figure out what's going on, which is why it's just easier to take somebody's word for it. He looks trustworthy. Why wouldn't I trust him? Why wouldn't he tell me the truth? And unfortunately, what you need to do is you need to actually take in a couple of few sources. Left, right, center, and somewhere in there, you're probably trying to find the truth. Now, like I said, I don't watch them. I'm bad. I make no bones about that. I've talked about that before. I'm not interested in being fair and balanced. My days of wanting to hear what the other side has to say are over. But that's me. You know, I don't. While I kind of wish that more Americans would do that, stop listening to them, and maybe listen a little bit more to us. Yeah, I do. But I wish they would do that of their own militia. You know, I wouldn't want to feel that everybody should do what I'm doing just because I say it, although that would be awesome. That would be awesome sauce. Yeah, you know, have any idea how different my life would be? You have any idea how different my life would be? Anyway, you know, that being said, it's hard, man. It's hard, you know, and print newspapers don't help. Nothing really helps. I mean, again, you get in there and it's like, I have found on those occasions where I have listened to them, where I have checked them out, it's like bizarro world. It's literally 100%. So, you know, it's almost like, you know, we're two forces, you know, two armies. There it is. Two armies are about to meet each other, and each one believes that God's on their side. And they have that sense of conviction, and that's what's pushing them. Of course, most of the lefties are godless communists, but anyway, we'll just say. Forget I said that. They can't both be right. Now, can they? That's the famous, they can't both be right, can they? And it's true. And it's frustrating, and, you know, the vast majority of people don't want to be bothered with this shit. Like I said, they have a limited amount of time to be able to do anything, you know, other than die and pay taxes. That, there's plenty of going around. I get it. You know, I get it. I 100% get it. And that's why, you know, I marvel. I mean, I literally marvel at the amount of, how many podcasts there are. And how many people are listening to podcasts, because there's a hell of a lot more than I would have thought, you know, because I don't even listen to stuff. I mean, I'm just in between shows. I I'm pretty much the news, a fair amount of mindless television. See, but I have time. That's the difference. I have time. That's why the same reason when I got into cooking, I had time. I understand why people don't cook, because it takes time. You come home from work, you don't want to cook. You could be cooking for a couple hours before you're ready to eat. What are you, crazy? You're insane. So, yeah. I get that. You know, I get, like, most, you know, and we forget. I think, stalling for time. I really am making this up as I go along. I think most Americans, we tend to forget. And we think that we all live the same. But we don't. We don't. We think that we all have the same sense of fairness and values, and we don't. Whether that be, and we think that to a certain degree that we all have the same philosophical beliefs, in a sense. We think that there are more people like us than there are like them, and they think the same. It's interesting. I think anybody but Donald Trump had won that primary. And looking back in retrospect, because I make it perfectly clear that I voted for Ted Cruz, I think anybody but Donald Trump winning that primary, winning the Republican primary, and I think Hillary would be president right now. I think it took
Was it the alt-right? Yeah, the alt-right tipped it. We love to believe that, don't we? The alt-right tipped the scales.
if it weren't for Pepe, not necessarily true. Because I think the vast majority of Trump supporters are rightful in taking exception to being referred to as deplorables. There's more than a few deplorables who are fans of the president. I can vouch for that, being one myself. But I think he represented something different, something new, and I think something fresh. And I think that they had hope that he would be someone who would rise above the political bureaucracy, the swamp, if you will, that has been dominant and in Washington, D.C. And I don't think he's let us down. I don't think he's let them down. And quite frankly, you're not letting me down, considering it's all gravy for me. You understand? It's all gravy because I wasn't, what was I going to do? I was going to vote for the guy no matter what happened. So hell or high water, hey, you know. And again, the ironic part is that Rhode Island always goes blue. I mentioned that. The two electoral votes that we have always go blue. Although I think they went for Reagan. I think it was Massachusetts who didn't go for Reagan. I think Massachusetts was the only state that didn't go for Reagan. You know, and I was thinking about Reagan today. And again, in these, the idea of President Trump being able to appoint three Supreme Court justices. Because, you know, Reagan appointed a gaggle of them. And see, that's the real power. That's the real long-lasting legacy. And it's still a crapshoot. Enter John Roberts. But anyway, you can nominate a candidate based upon how you think that they're going to vote. You know, how you think they're that, and your hope that they will, what's the word? Judiciate. Wow, that's a big one for me. From the bench in your favor. My preference would be there was actually no politicking from the bench, but that's impossible, even though there are supposed rules that prevent that sort of thing. It's impossible. It's impossible not to be affected. So the idea of, I guess, that he would get three, and I forget how many Reagan got. Was Reagan up there with, and remember, Reagan had 8 years. So I'd have to look that up, and I don't care to do it. But I know it was at least three over the eight-year period. And again, that's the long-lasting legacy, because that's the kind of stuff, the interpretation of law. That's really, because we live, unless you're BLM, and that's burning, looting, and maiming the inner cities because you're upset, because you're sad that black people acted badly and they paid a price for it. I'm gonna have to let up on the brown people. I'm moving to friggin' Texas. I gotta revamp all my brown people material. Maybe I could turn it into yellow people material. Nobody likes them anyway. I don't know. I'll figure it out. But yeah, it's hard being an American. It's the most wonderful privilege in the world, and I thank God every day that I was born in America, free white man in America, for most of my life. I thank God for it. And it's not something to be taken for granted, and it's not something to be taken lightly. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm again, glad to be able to vote and be able to fulfill my responsibility, because that's what that is. I would even go to jury duty. I say it all the time. I got nothing but time on my hands, man. Call me for jury duty. Stick me on jury duty for like a month. I don't care. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me in the least. Jury duty, yay. Again, nobody wants to do those responsibilities. They all just want the privilege. Everybody's talking about their rights. I know my rights. I watch television. I know my rights. I'm woke. I don't have to give you my name. Yeah, okay. Yes, you do. You do. I don't care what you saw or where you saw it. Yes, you do. You do. Anyway, people are so fucking stupid. See, that's it. You know, that's really what it is. That's, you know, I do. Like I mentioned, I know a good part of this this rap monologue was about the idea of feeling sympathetic towards most Americans, or a good number of Americans, because they don't have the time. They don't, and those are the people. I guess now would be a good time to differentiate. Those are the people who are capable of critical thought. That's the thing. Those are the people who are intelligent enough, if they actually got some honest media informing them what was going on, they don't have the time. And stupid people, of which there are probably even more of than those conscientiously unavailable individuals. I like that term, unavailable, because of life, unfortunately. There's more stupid people. They're outnumbered. They're actually outnumbered. I mean, like I said last week, you know, I've never looked at a political ad and say, hey, that's it. I'm done. I'm voting for that guy. I mean, who does that? Stupid people do that. Stupid people. That's what they spend all this money, all these millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, fundraisers and 800-hour plate dinners, you know, a little piece of like Salisbury steak on there, of which I had for dinner, by the way. And they're raising money and they're spending, and it's all this blitzing and it's advertising and you got for stupid people, for stupid people. So no matter how you slice it, I guess we're at the mercy of stupid people. Wow. This is a sobering thought. You know, I never used to say it. I know I've told you this before. I used to feel bad. That's how you know I was really, I had liberal leanings. Although, again, I was always registered as an independent. I used to feel bad about thinking that people were stupid. I felt like, oh, that's not, You know what I mean? It was just like, it felt like wrong. It felt like I was being like rude or I was being an asshole. As I got older, I felt less bad about it. I suffered for it. We all suffer for it. You know, I can't stand stupidity, and ignorance bothers me even more because at least there's some potential there. There's some capacity. That's the term. There's some capacity for understanding. Stupid people don't even have that. They're just stupid. And what stupid people do is they just make more stupid people. You know, they breed. They're allowed to breed. Yeah. Let's go back to eugenics. You have to be this tall in order. No. Well, I don't know. I have to think about that one. Let me get back to you. I still have a little bit of a conscience. I'm not like a total sociopath where it's like, yeah, snip them. You know, I don't know. It's just funny how stupid people want. And, you know, it's like even when stupid people, wind up breeding with smart people, they produce stupid babies. So, I mean, seriously, think about that. You know, it's like that vanilla ice cream and horseshit theory, it doesn't really do anything to the horseshit, but it sure as well fucks up the vanilla ice cream. It's true. Well, I'm glad I live in a country where morons like myself, imbeciles like myself, can produce media and not have secret police knocking on my door. Yeah. Or regular police, for that matter. Any police knocking on my door. So I'm grateful for that. I always advocate people being involved with social media or so. Just tip the scales. Just check in. We gotta do something about all those stupid people out there. So I mean, I think my audience for the most part is reasonably intelligent. Don't know why they keep listening, but they're reasonably intelligent. So that being said, I think. Do something. Write your congressman. I don't know how much that matters, but write your congressman. Start a blog. Start a audio blog. I don't know what that's called. A podcast. That's right. Podcast. I have it written down here. And vlog. Maybe vlog. Maybe do a little video off your phone. Put it up on YouTube. And if they take it down, you're moving in the right direction. If the algorithm doesn't like you, you're doing something right. That's it. That's the takeaway for the week. If the YouTube algorithm doesn't like you, you're doing something correctly. That's how you should judge how you're doing. Not numbers. If you've been demonetized, then you're doing something right. That being said, I'm tired. I did my hour. I came out here like a monkey and danced. Danced like a monkey. Let me do my plugs and I'll get out of here and do some other stuff. Let's see. Head over to lfmidwood.com. It's the home of the Midwood Files. You'll find my archives listed up there by date. I believe I think it's going to be 4 years pretty soon. I think October 31st will be 4 years? Yeah, I think four. I don't think it's five. I think it's four, but I could be wrong. I have to actually do math. Let me see. Is there a year here? Hang on. Let's see. October 2016. So yeah, it'll be 4 years. That's right, because again, I remember coming on pretty much in the election cycle, in the last election cycle. So that makes sense. Anyway, it's 4 years worth of archives by date and by blurb. Again, I must stress that it's the producer who creates these little whimsical blurs. I'm not whimsical like that. speaking of imbeciles, And, you know, that being said, my favorites are up there. There's links. You head over to the top or the side, depending upon which OS you're using. And 11LRNI take you over to John Lightning's site, and there'll be John Lightning Archives and Dave the Boogeyman Archives and Big Steve Cole Archives. I'm pretty sure Dave the Boogeyman's on tomorrow. I don't know. It never really pays for me to say that because by the time you're hearing this, it's probably, you're like, so what? Same thing. It's John Lightning's on tomorrow. They're like, so what? So that being said, I just like to plug the archives and plug both those guys. There's always something really good here on Sundays at 8. Saturdays at midnight, meh. Was it meh? I mean, this is like a big thing with me now. Meh. Meh. You know, like I discovered meh. Like it's been there forever, right? But meh. You know, and you got to do the shoulder thing. Meh. Like that. Meh. Anyway, if you head all the way over to the right, there's our good friend Brad Reed. Who's anything but meh? There you go. He's running Grits Radio over there, and he's kind enough to run our show on his stream. We appreciate that. Again, we question why, but we appreciate that. And that being said, I'm going to play my traditional close. I'm going to get out of here, and I'll be back next week. So however you choose to imbibe, I thank you for listening. Night, y'all.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.